these words of Jesus recorded for us in the Bible. We pray for your help this lunchtime then, that we might understand your word and that you might change our hearts where they need to be changed in the light of it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. It's terrific to be with you and to recognise one or two faces that I knew from a few years back. We're looking at, as Marcus said, at these couple of parables. I'm sorry, we're only diving into this. I'm sorry I didn't have time to get the talk ready that you were supposed to be having today from Colossians chapter 4. Do make a point of trying to read that for yourself. But we're diving into the middle of Matthew chapter 13. And Matthew 13 is a collection of seven or eight parables told by Jesus and grouped together, some of them in pairs, like these two that we're looking at today. And in this particular pair of parables, Jesus asks us one very simple question, which is this: how highly do you value the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is a technical phrase. It's another way of talking about what it means to know Jesus personally, to live under his rule, to be one of his followers. And so whether I'm someone who calls myself a follower of Jesus or not, the question for each one of us this lunchtime is this: how highly do I value the thought of being a follower of Jesus? Is it something that you and I treat lightly, as though it doesn't matter very much one way or the other? Or is it something that I cherish above all things? Is the thought of knowing Jesus and following him your everything? Is it your sleeping and your rising? Is it your beginning and your end? The big point of this pair of parables is that it should be. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven, knowing Jesus, is like treasure. It is of the greatest value. And because of that, then knowing and loving Jesus is not, living under his rule is not something that we can do with part of our time or with a fraction of our energy. It's not something that we can just fit around other things we'll learn. The kingdom of heaven is worth more than that. It's to be of, because it is of supreme value to know Jesus, it's to hold the place of supreme value in our hearts. Let me tell you about three people that I know who work here in Canary Wharf. I've changed their names to protect the identities of all concerned. The first guy I met here in Canary Wharf was a chap called Richard. Richard is about 35. He works in a bank. There's one or two just breathing a sigh of relief that I'm not talking about them at this moment. If you were to ask Richard what it is in his life that he values above all other things, then I think if he was being honest, he would tell you that it was his credibility, his popularity, his reputation. Because for Richard, like so many of us, what matters to him is what other people think of him. He likes being liked. Not by everyone. There are some people in Richard's life, and he doesn't give one jot about their opinion of him. But then there's a boss, there's a couple of friends, there's a colleague. And their opinion matters to him more than anything. Their approval of his work, of his relationships, of his life matters tremendously. That's Richard. David is at a very different stage of life. He's due to retire in a few years. And what matters most to him in his life is his family's prosperity. A deposit for his daughter's first flat, university top-up fees for his son, a trust fund for his first grandchild. What matters to him as he looks ahead to the future is the thought of having enough around. He doesn't want every possession under the sun, but he wants enough to be comfortable, to be able to travel a bit in his retirement in the way that he funded his children to travel in their gap years. He wants to be able to give his children and grandchildren the kind of start in life that he never had. Catherine's only been in Canary Wharf for a few years. The thing that she values without doubt most in her life is happiness. She lives for pleasure. Once or maybe twice, I think that's meant things like getting drunk at a party and waking up in the wrong bed. But most of the time for Catherine, it just means leaving work on time. It means making sure that she gets to play with her sports team. It means going out to the cinema. It means hanging out with her friends. three different people living at the bottom line for three different things in life. Richard for popularity, David for prosperity, and Catherine for pleasure. The really interesting thing about them, though, is that at the time when I knew them, each of them were regulars here on a Wednesday lunchtime. And each of them would have told you, and I think would tell you still today, that they were followers of Jesus. And so those three life stories beg of us the same question as our parables this lunchtime. If someone were to ask you today what it is that you value more highly than anything else in your life, I wonder what it is that you would say. Maybe you'd be like one of my friends. Maybe you'd say something completely different. We're in Matthew chapter 13, which is on page 988, and it's verses 44 to 46, for those who have just joined us. And we're looking at a pair of parables in which Jesus is talking to some people who had just started to follow him. And he says to them, for true Christians, for real Christians, for effective Christians, then the thing that we will value more highly than anything else in our lives is Jesus himself. He says the privilege of knowing and following Jesus is like finding bucketfuls of hidden treasure. So imagine leaving here today, and as you walk back towards your office, there's something on the floor that glints a little in the sun that will have come out by then and catches your eye. And so you bend down, and there before you on the floor is not just a bit of a broken bottle, but it's a precious stone, something more beautiful than anything that you've ever seen before. Something more precious than anything you could possibly begin to imagine. Well, Jesus says that's how great it is to know and follow him. You'll see on the sheet we've got 2 points, and then there's a question this lunchtime. The first, and we've covered some of the ground already, is that following Jesus costs you everything. Following Jesus costs you everything. Let's read verse 44 again, where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, or Jesus, is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So Jesus is saying here, when someone starts to follow him, it costs them everything. The man in verse 44 is a laborer in a field. He's going about his normal life, digging away in this field maybe, when he makes a discovery that will change his life forever. Because all of a sudden there's a clunk and his spade has hit some metal. So he bends down, scrapes away the dirt, and there before him he sees treasure beyond his wildest dreams. And that treasure is so precious to him, the first instant that he sees it, that he's willing to go to any lengths to make sure that he gets it. So verse 44, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. We can picture him maybe running home, putting up a sign by his house saying, total clearance sale. Everything must go. And one by one, the neighbours come round. One of them buys his plasma screen TV, maybe. Another one buys his favourite armchair. No one else has been allowed to sit on it, but now it will go to a different home. Then someone offers to buy his sports car. And at first, he's reluctant, because that car has meant more to him than anything else in the world. It's been the thing that's kept him going through his midlife crisis. But then he thinks about how great that treasure is. And so he sells his car and his house and his dog and all the clothes that he's not wearing. And if someone had put in an offer for his mother-in-law, he would probably have been tempted there as well. So soon, he's got nothing left in the world except for a big bucket full of money. And so he does get his prize, but it costs him everything. And Jesus says, if someone's going to follow me, it will cost them everything. The chap in the second parable in verse 45 is different. He's a merchant. So Jesus says in verse 45, if you glance down with me, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So if the first man stumbled on his treasure by chance, this man has made a career of his search. But one day he sees a prize that blows his mind. It's very striking that a merchant would sell everything. If you're into trading, you'll know it's not like a merchant to lose their grip and to invest everything on one impulsive purchase that may or may not pay off. But such was the quality of this prize that once the merchant had set his eyes on it, he'd do anything to get it. And so he too sells everything and gets the prize. And Jesus says, following me will cost you everything. I remember in my sixth form at school, I went to one of those schools where we stayed the night occasionally, and I was a prefect, which meant that as prefects we were given free beer every Thursday night after we'd done our homework. It was a pretty good system. We enjoyed it very much, except that Thursday night after homework was the time that the school Christian meeting happened. And so every Thursday night there was a little bit of a war going on. And to my shame, there were lots of times when I thought it was more important to go and drink free beer than to go and learn about Jesus. Again, I remember conversations that sometimes crop up at dinner parties about Jesus. And the times when I haven't spoken up for him because I've been too worried what other people there might think of me, how it would affect the social dynamics adversely if I was to take his side. I remember planning a career in law because I thought it was a good way to earn a fortune in a short space of time, until a Christian friend asked me whether or not I'd thought about how to make the best use of my career for Jesus. One short life, he said. What will you do with it? And you know, that question hadn't even popped into my mind. I was definitely a follower of Jesus at each of those stages. But still, the default setting in my life kept flicking away from Jesus and onto other things. When push came to shove, my own pleasure, my popularity, my possessions, and the thought of earning enough to buy some meant more to me than Jesus. And then in these parables, Jesus says, following him doesn't work like that. It's just not possible to be a follower of Jesus with half your heart and half your soul and half your mind and half your strength. He says it costs you everything. So imagine someone new to Canary Wharf who has yet to tell their colleagues that they're a follower of Jesus because they're worried what they might think. Imagine a worker who rarely makes it to church. She says she's too tired on Sunday morning, and Sunday evening's the time for watching DVDs with her friends. Imagine someone a bit older who finds himself wanting to hold things back from Jesus. Maybe I'm not willing to get my drinking under control. Maybe I think my children's education matters more than their presence at the church youth group. Maybe I have an ambition or a secret sin that I will not surrender to Jesus. If I'm holding things back from Jesus, then he might just want to question whether I'm even a Christian at all. Following Jesus costs you everything. Of course, that doesn't mean that I never play golf again and that I have to give away my children's trust fund and that I have to seek to become Mr. Unpopular in the office. Now, if I follow Jesus with all my heart, many of my life's activities will stay the same. But what will happen is that everyone and everything else in my life will come second to Jesus. And when I'm on the golf course and in the office and at home, it will be pleasing Jesus that is my top priority. Let me ask you once again then, what is it in life that holds supreme value for you? What is it that fills your dreams? What is it that you long for in your future? The cost of being a follower of Jesus is that he is to take precedence over even that thing. He is to be the number one. This isn't some lunatic fringe of Christianity. We're not talking about fundamentalism. We're talking about basic Christianity as it's found on the lips of Jesus himself. It costs you everything. Which leaves me thinking, that's too much. And it leaves me wanting to run away. And if you're anything like that, then you need to hear our second point as well, which is that following Jesus is worth every penny. Every penny. One of the things I love about the people in these parables is the ease with which they make their decisions. I don't know if you spotted that. The value of the treasure was so obvious to them right from the first instance that they just left everything and followed him. They sold the lot so that they could get their prize. Nothing else mattered anymore. Not their popularity, not their possessions, not their worldly pleasures. They found only one thing, Jesus. But he was the end of all their searching. It's the decision that you take when you get married. I'm married to a lovely lady called Emily. And so on the day we got married, I was reminded as I heard the vows once again at the weekend at someone else's wedding, forsaking all others, you promise to be faithful to him, to her, till death you do part. Why? Because in some sense at least you're thinking, she's worth it. He's worth it. And that's why the decision of these men was so full of joy as well. So in verse 44, do you spot that? When a man found it, then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. People sometimes worry that following Jesus with all their heart will leave them miserable. But actually, time and again, it's the half-hearted people who end up miserable. Those who won't yield their lives to him that struggle. Following Jesus is hard. But there's no happier person in the world than the one who loves him with all their heart. And when we stop and think about Jesus himself, it's easy to see why the gain of knowing him is worth infinitely more than anything else we might do without. It's like swapping a clapped out Ford Fiesta for a brand new Aston Martin DB9 with all the trimmings or whatever else it may be. It's like swapping a caravan for a castle. It's like swapping a tired and ripped old t-shirt for a whole new designer wardrobe. It's a good deal. You do well out of following Jesus. There's nothing in this world that can compare with the joy and wonder of following him. If I'm after popularity, what better friend could I have than Jesus? The one who made the universe. The one who loved me enough to die for me. At the end of the day, it's only his well done that matters. Every friend I've ever had in my life has at one point or another let me down or hurt me, except Jesus. The Bible describes Jesus as a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Every minute of every day, he's there with me, the good times and the bad. There's no better friend than Jesus. If I want prosperity, what greater treasure could there be than Jesus? They asked J.D. Rockefeller, how much money do you need to be happy? And he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Every treasure in this world will one day go rusty or break down or get stolen. And even if they don't, one day I'll be lying in my coffin and then all the money in the world will count for nothing. But in Jesus, it's as if God takes out the key to the treasure chest of heaven. And he opens it up and says, there you are, my son, my daughter, it's yours. Feast and enjoy. There's no greater treasure than Jesus. Again, if I want pleasure, true happiness is only ever found in Jesus. There's no pleasure in this life that lasts forever. Matthew Pinson spent 15-20 years of his life slogging his guts out to win gold medals. He says after every gold medal, he felt like the happiest man in the world. But then within seconds, he said the pleasure was gone. And he was thinking to himself, what now? What now? Pleasure in this life doesn't last, but the pleasure of knowing Jesus does. He says, if we drink of the pleasure of knowing him, then we will never thirst again, because that's how good it is to be a follower of Jesus. It's true that following Jesus costs you everything, but it's an absolute bargain at the price. If we were to get all of the money in the world and heap it up in one great mound in Cabot Square, and then we were to get Jesus to stand next to that mound. Well, to you and I, he may not look all that glittering. He may not look all that impressive. But our passage is telling us he would be worth infinitely more. Infinitely more. If we're still living for anything other than Jesus, we're living for second best. And so God's saying to us today, this lunchtime, don't waste your life living for second best. Live for Jesus, because he is more precious than anything and anyone else in this world. So let me ask you that question once more. How highly do you value Jesus? I wonder, is he your everything? Is he your rising and your sleeping? Is he your beginning and your end? If it came to the crunch, is there anything that you would sacrifice for Jesus? If it came to the crunch, would you sacrifice everything for him? He is worth it. He is worth it. Why don't I pray? Almighty God, we're so sorry for the way that we often value Jesus so lightly, and we think so little of him and of the privilege of knowing him. We pray, therefore, that you would help us, first and foremost, to think rightly about him, knowing that if he takes on his true value in our minds and in our hearts, that all other things will fade away into the shadows. So please help us to value him rightly. And please help us to see just how foolish it is to live for anything else in this world. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.